temperature 65. Overnight, a low of 46 and mostly cloudy with that chance of a shower continuing. We start off mostly cloudy Monday, end up partly cloudy with a high of 66. I'm Fox 19 Chief Meteorologist Steve Horstmeyer on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Right now, 58 degrees at 55 KRC, the talk station.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "No free man shall ever be precluded the use of arms." The decision to own a firearm isn't an easy one. What type should you buy? Where can you go for training? What are the laws governing carry and transport? And what role does the Second Amendment play in the lives of Americans? Listen in as we delve into this often controversial topic and separate fact from fallacy. Explore the right to bear arms and all that goes with it. Tune in Sunday nights at 7 for Trigger Time with Joe Barrett, right here on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Your new Nissan is at the all-new showroom at Fall Haber Nissan on Colerain. Make Fall Haber Nissan your Nissan connection.
The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of 55 KRC, the talk station, and Clear Channel Worldwide.
Target acquisition confirmed.
You have a green light.
Locked and loaded.
It's Trigger Time.
Hello, welcome to Trigger Time. I'm Joe Barrett, your host. Thanks for being with us. Go around the table here. Amy.
Hi, everybody.
Scott.
Good evening.
Leslie's joining us tonight.
Hello. Hey,
Leslie's mic's not on, but she says hello. And Dr. Keith Nelson.
Hello, everyone.
Well, interesting last 4 days. Amy and I and Leslie are fresh in from Tactical Defense Institute in West Union, Ohio. We'd like to say hello to all of our fellow students who are traveling home. Have a safe trip, and it was a pleasure to be in class with you. A lot of great people. We were taking handgun levels 4 and 5, and it's Amy and I's third time taking
third
series. Great class, lots of shooting, lots of stuff, just so much. It's just amazing, so well done, as it always is at TDI. There's just no way you could... I mean, we could talk about it, as most of you know, I often do, and never, ever really scratch the surface. We were talking before about how many people will contact TDI and want to take a class out there, and the handgun courses are arranged in Handgun 1, Handgun 2, Handgun 3, and then there are some specialty courses like Advanced Concealed Carry and Extreme Close Quarters, things like that, but... typically, a person, you know, you'll start with handgun 1, handgun, so on. They get lots of calls from people that say, you know, I've been shooting for 20 years. I'm an NRA instructor. I'm this, I'm that. Where should I begin? What level should I start in? And they always, you know, very politely say, well, you need to start in handgun 1. And it's difficult, I guess, sometimes, because it was for me when I first went out there. I thought, you know, I've been shooting for 25 years. Why would I need to start there? To be honest with you, there are things you don't know, and the things you don't know are simply things you don't know. That's John's way of putting it, and it's very, you can't hold things they don't know against them. They don't know, so you can't expect them to know. I know it sounds like wordplay, but it's not. The fact of the matter is there are so many things that you couldn't imagine not knowing that you probably, you know, wouldn't believe that you are going to be lost in handgun 2 or handgun 3, even if you were to just drop right in. Building blocks. Next, you know, one course builds on another, and it's so well done. Their formula is so well established out there. It's just amazing. We saw a lot of people out there, and it was a really good group. Everybody seemed to do really well. Everybody was shooting well, and it was really neat. I mean, there were people out there from... We had police officers out there. We had dentists. We had...
there's somebody from the FBI that was there Thursday and Friday.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's just a whole wide range of different people you'll train with, meet a lot of different people, all nice people. I can't recommend it highly enough. We're going to talk tonight about... what our topic tonight is buying firearms and what not to do, what to do, and so on. So many people make mistakes in this, but... typically, when people contact me and say I need to get going, what should I do? I always tell them start with training. You don't even have to buy a gun. You know, don't buy a gun. In fact, borrow a gun from wherever you're going to train, because you don't know anything yet. You know, why go out and buy a piece of equipment you're unfamiliar with? So we're going to talk about that as usual, Keith has put together a very detailed outline and a lot of really good information. He deals with people that are at this level all the time. How many people you train now, Keith, here at CCW class?
You mean total?
Yeah.
Over 3,500.
Right. I mean, so these are all people that are getting into firearms now. They're taking the step, you know, and the mistakes that you see people make, they make a lot of the same mistakes, don't they?
Yeah, and we get a whole variety of people, just like you were saying at TDI, but even more so here because they're walking off the street, and some people have virtually no experience, never even touched a gun before.
Right.
We don't recommend them going to concealed carry. They should go through handgun one and two at target roll first.
Right.
But we get very inexperienced people to very experienced. I had a guy from the Marine Corps pistol team last week, and so you get everything in between.
Sure.
And so you've got to make the course sort of suitable for everybody.
Right.
But what you get is people showing up with guns that they really aren't defensive guns, and somebody gave them some advice, and they bought something that isn't suitable and that sort of thing. So that's
right.
Why I think it's important to go over a few of these things.
Sure, absolutely. The first thing is they hear, you know, firearms are expensive. In order to get the best value for your hard-earned dollar, think and evaluate before you buy. That's very well said. And, you know, if you can get people to think and evaluate, period, before they do something, before you do anything,
yeah.
You know. It's like you think before you shoot, think before you do anything.
There's an old Roman saying, caveat emptor, which means buyer beware, and it applies now and it applied 2,000 years ago, I guess.
Absolutely.
You know, and everyone's out there trying to sell something, and you've got to get the thing that best suits your needs.
Right. And, I don't want to say anything against gun dealers at all, okay, because I think the world of I started going to Target World when I was 17 years old. My mother had to sit out front and buy my ammo for me as I shot it up out on the range because I was old enough to shoot her. I just wasn't old enough to buy bullets, and so I love Target World. I think it's a great place, but there are gun dealers like at gun shows and other gun dealers. I've heard people say, "Oh, I know this is the right one because the guy at the show told me this is the one to buy." You mean the guy that sold to you? Yeah, yeah.
Right.
He
doesn't have any vested interest.
No. I mean, you know, what possible motivation could he have for you carrying this thing out of there? You know, so you know, you've got to use your head. You've got to use your head. We do have a caller on the line. If you want to join the show, 749-5500. It's 513-749-5500. I want to go to get this caller. He called in earlier. Gary, welcome. Gary, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. How can we help you, sir?
My question is about open carry. I understand that there are places where I cannot carry concealed. But I'm specifically asking about open carry, library, courthouse, church. Open carry?
Any of those places where firearms are prohibited, it isn't that the concealed carry is prohibited. It is that the firearm itself is prohibited, with the exception of law enforcement.
You can't carry open or concealed in
those
places.
Right. The firearm itself is prohibited on the grounds. Whether it is concealed or not is not, it doesn't matter. So if you go into, for instance, one of these businesses that decides we don't want guns in here, which is a terrible decision for them to make, and I don't think it's a logical one if they really think about it. But if they do make it and put that sign on the door, it prohibits lawfully firearms coming into that business, regardless of how they're carried.
Okay. The one possible exception might be churches where you can't carry concealed without permission from the leadership of the church.
The church is actually prohibited by law. Mm-hmm. However, the church is the only place prohibited by law that is allowed to rescind that. They're allowed to.
Okay.
Then make sure that your church has taken. Has said, okay, yes, we are saying yes to carrying firearms in the church. Make sure you don't just hear it from somebody that you feel like would know. Make sure it's something the church has made a statement on.
The default is it's prohibited.
Right.
Unless
right.
Clearly stated.
Yeah, because it's very clear in the law that, yeah. that churches, places of worship are prohibited carry zones automatically by law. So understand that the church needs to have done something that you can point to and say, here is why I didn't feel like this applied, because they had taken that stance. Now, the sheriff's department can't do that. They can't give you permission to carry a gun in there. You're not allowed. It's prohibited. But the church was given that power.
Thank you.
Okay,
very
thanks,
much
Gary.
For that clarification.
All right, sir. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
749-5500, 513-749-5500. If you want to join the show, we are going to take our first break, and then we're going to get into buying guns, what to do, what not to do. Back in a moment with more Trigger Time here on 55KRC, the talk station.
55KRC.
Hi, it's Scott Sloan. I got something crazy fun for you to do on your next date night. Movie, bar, bowling. How many times are you going to do that? Seriously. Check this out. Target World. That's right. Target World. They have a full line of rental handguns, ammo, and an indoor range, all in a safe, clean environment. And when I went in, I couldn't believe how many men and women, how many couples were having fun. If you're new to shooting, no problem. Their friendly experts will have you locked, loaded, and having a good time. If you've always wanted to try it, Target World has you covered. They also have classes from basic to advanced, concealed carry, and more. Of course, if you own a gun or you're ready to buy one, they have almost 3,000 firearms in stock, almost double what the other guys have. Plus, ammo, holsters, safes, archery, paintball equipment, and more. Target World is right off 275 in Sharonville. They're open 7 days a week. Or you can check them out online at targetworld.net. I'll see you at the Tri-State's home for shooting sports, Target World.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "No free man shall ever be precluded the use of arms." The decision to own a firearm isn't an easy one. What type should you buy? Where can you go for training? What are the laws governing carry and transport? And what role does the Second Amendment play in the lives of Americans? Listen in as we delve into this often controversial topic and separate fact from fallacy. Explore the right to bear arms and all that goes with it. Tune in Sunday nights at 7 for Trigger Time with Joe Barrett, right here on 55KRC, the talk station.
We don't get many second chances. This one could save your life. A TIA, or transient ischemic stroke, is a mini stroke. Symptoms usually go away within 24 hours and you feel fine again. But if you don't get to a stroke center or hospital fast, you risk a full-fledged stroke that can change your life forever. Don't take that chance. Contact National Stroke Association at 1-800-STROKES or visit stroke.org and find out more about recognizing stroke symptoms fast. Do it now, while there's still time.
Investing in your future. From the Steve Perrin Coordinated Financial Planning Studios, this is 55KRC, the talk station.
Okay, you're back with Trigger Time on 55KRC, the talk station. If you'd like to join the show tonight with any questions or comments, give us a call now at 513-749-5500.
Okay, you're back with Trigger Time. I did want to say that the 2012 schedule is up at Tactical Defense Institute, and I want to encourage you, if you're thinking of a class out there, please get a hold of them, get registered. These classes are already filling up. www.tdiohio.com. That's tdiohio.com. You know, if you've listened to this show at all, you know that it is my best advice I can give you is to sign up for this type of training. It is absolutely unequaled, and I can't recommend it highly enough. It has absolutely changed the way Amy and I are and think about defense and these matters. It's just incredible. So email me at info@triggertimewithjoe.com. That's info@triggertimewithjoe.com. If you have any questions about the training out there or anything like that, any specific questions, or email them. Again, their website, www.tdiohio.com. Well, Keith, we both talk about this a lot. We've commented together a number of times on this thing, that thing. The first thing is common list of mistakes. Let's just go down the list. What are some things we see people doing?
Well, impulsive buys are always troublesome, and everyone is subject to this. You go into the supermarket and you see something good to eat and you want to buy it, and so you do, and then that generally doesn't cost you a whole lot. But when you buy a gun, you really shouldn't do that, because you can walk into a gun store and see the big gold-plated Desert Eagle sitting there and go, wow, isn't that cool? You know, and it is, and you buy it, and now is it going to do me for concealed carry? Well, no, it won't. It's too heavy. And so people do that all the time, and they buy inappropriate guns. So the first thing really is to back off a little bit and decide what you need based upon, you know, what your needs are, and then evaluate from that point on, and we can get into that a little bit. But don't buy an impulse.
Right. Bad idea. Yeah, I mean, it's just like he said. There's nothing cooler than a cool gun. You know, there's, like, for instance, the Benelli shotgun is a good example. And some people, if they're listening, they'll know why I'm talking about this. you know, you take a Benelli shotgun, you put a Surefire 4 in, you put a side saddle on it, and you put a couple, you could have a ghost ring on it and a bunch of other stuff on it, and man, it really looks cool.
Yeah.
Only problem is it doesn't run. You know, because Benelli tells you, you know, if you hang more than a pound on this thing, you're going to mess up the function of the gun.
Right.
So sometimes a gun looks really cool and you think, wow, here's my money. And then you find out, boy, this thing's not going to work for what I wanted. And concealed carry is especially bad. You know, I want to, I want a man stopper. So I'll go buy a 44 Magnum with an 8-inch barrel.
Or a full size 1911 even.
Yeah. Even, yeah.
Which some people carry, but most people don't.
Most people don't carry. Right. It's too heavy.
And we got a guy that did that and spent about $1,700 on a Kimber Gold match and decided to resell it after a month and got about half his money out of it, because it's just like driving a car off a parking lot. You're not going to get your money back in a new gun.
You can't. You can't. It's not going to work that way. There's a sticker price, and then there's a reality price. It's like anything else. You buy it brand new, and you need to get rid of it immediately. You're going to take a hit. So you have here, buy with only price in mind, another big mistake.
Yeah. People go in and they say, what's the cheapest thing there? Because I don't have a lot of money, and we appreciate the economic realities of nowadays. But the thing is, if you buy just on a price basis, you're going to get a less expensive gun, and generally you get what you pay for with guns.
Right.
And not 100%, but generally if you buy a less expensive gun, your reliability goes down and your utility goes down, and you get something that really isn't suitable. So are you saving money by buying a cheaper gun?
Right.
You're really wasting that money.
And it's funny. I mean, I remember I had a guy email me, and here's what he told me. And he said, I want to go from point A, which is know nothing, have nothing, not armed, okay, to B, which is armed, competent, able to use it, and all systems covered, right? $400. He said, that's my budget. That's what I can spend, $400. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. Let me just save you the trouble. You can't. $400 will not cover the gun, the holster, the gear, the training.
40 years ago it might, but
right. I mean, no. It's just not going to happen. No, can you buy a gun for, yeah, you can buy a gun for $30, but the problem is, you know.
You can get a Jennings 25 or something, and that's
right. But it's not exactly. So your issue is, I need a gun for concealed carry. Well, what are the things concealed carry might require of you? Is this gun capable of doing that?
It's reliable.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big thing. And a lot of the cheaper guns are not reliable. I don't want to mention any particular names, but there's some out there that just aren't. And you got to stay away from them. You really do.
Yeah. And, the thing is, we see it a lot. We're going to talk about it here in a minute. But often, you know, people make a mistake. You know, there's a particular friend, not of mine, but of somebody, that you know, asked for my advice. And because this person's a friend of somebody very close to me, I took the time to write a very long list, laundry list. Here's what I would do, point A to point B. And, it started with the stuff, it's not fun. Go get some training. But, you know, all of it was ignored. This person just announced that they went out and bought a, you know, Smith & Wesson 45 caliber. Now, you know, this is a woman with absolutely no training, with no experience with guns, goes out and buys a 45 Smith & Wesson, which is a fine weapon, and there's nothing
sure
wrong.
Sure is, but
you know,
she hasn't shot one yet.
She, right, I mean, my gosh. And the problem is, when you make a mistake right out of the chute, it can affect you all the way through this process.
It can be a disaster.
Yeah.
And then either have to sell the gun and buy a new one or whatever. And it's a waste of time and money. It's frustrating and all those things. So you don't want to do it. Think a little bit first.
So if
shoot a few guns first, like
right,
you said.
Go to Target World and rent them. I mean, they've got them all. Rent every one. But if you're on a budget, if you're on a budget at all, then you especially can't afford to just take a pop shot. You know, you've got to make an intelligent decision.
Sure.
I think people try and pick out a price that's in their budget before they actually go to see what guns cost. They just have it in their mind. Okay, I've got $200 to spend, but you haven't looked to see what $200 will get you.
Right.
Once you do, then you'll I need to up that.
Right. And if you're making a budget, if you can afford to spend $400, and you can afford to spend more if you cut something else.
Save
out.
Up, you know, and
yeah. save. Yeah.
Cut on some other things maybe, but don't go too cheap here.
No. No. If you do, you absolutely will be selling yourself short. Taking advice from the wrong people. Boy, we've heard that one.
That's very common. And yeah. I had someone in my class, I think, this week, and they said, well, this guy told me this, and this guy told me that, and I bought this gun. And I said, who was this guy? He said, well, some guy, you know.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So he just got on the street and asked people their opinions. And if you take advice, take it from someone you respect, someone's instructors, a gunsmith, somebody that knows something about firearms, and they'll tell you what lasts and what doesn't. Competition people, we shoot guns to death, as you know.
Right.
And we know what stands up, what doesn't. So
ask people who know.
Yeah. And just don't take advice from somebody, and particularly a person that wants to sell you a cheap gun, because they have a high markup on these.
Right.
And they want to do that. Gun shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I'm not picking on gun shows. Coin shows are just as bad. Mm-hmm. You know, going to a coin show and saying, you know, hey, is this a good buy? Well, if you're asking the guy who's got it for sale, now you're operating on his character,
right.
And which may or may not, you may not be able to depend on. Same thing with guns. Does this guy really care whether or not you and your family are armed and safe and have a weapon? Does he really? He might, but he might not.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that don't.
Right.
They're looking at their bottom line. That's it.
Right. When I leave here today, I was planning on taking that piece of crap back home with me. I don't have to because this guy doesn't know anything and he'll buy whatever I tell him to buy. I got news for you. There are people who will let you walk out with that thing and sleep just fine tonight. Taking advice from the wrong people. Absolutely listen to experts, listen to people who know. You know, I always tell people, find out a little bit about somebody's firearm background. What have they done? What is it they're doing? You know, we talk a lot about training. I mean, Keith was taking, you know, probably some of the best combat training on the planet when I was a child. You know, I mean, I won't get into Keith's entire background. You can find out if you really want to know, contact us. But the bottom line is, he's trained all over the world and has competed and everything like that. This is somebody who really knows. Find out who am I listening to here? Does it, if they say, well, you know, I've been shooting for years. What does that mean exactly? I mean, because there's people that have been shooting for years that still haven't hit anything. Yeah, I mean, listen to the people who know. They're out there. But everybody's an expert in the gun world. That's something I found out. There's an expert everywhere. You listen to somebody who really does know.
And everyone's got an opinion, and I won't go any further.
Right, right. I mean, oh, my God, right. Yeah, we know how that turns out. You know, buying a gun ill-suited for your needs, big one.
Yeah.
Big one.
And very common. You get one too big. Like we were talking about the 45s and stuff, the great guns and stuff, but what are you going to do with it? Now, if you're going to take it out the range and shoot targets with it, fine. I like a heavier gun for competition because it reduces recoil and that sort of thing. But are you going to carry that gun?
Right.
Are you going to carry an STI concealed? Are you going to carry full-size 45? You might want to, but very few people do. If you're going to buy concealed, think about it. Think about the weight. Think about what your needs are versus if the gun is just something you fancy and want to buy it.
Right.
You know.
And, you know, the thing is, there are people, I mean, I know a lot of people that carry a full-size gun. I carry a Glock 17, which is a full-size gun. It's a big gun. I'm big, you know. A lot of it has to do with the gear you choose. I mean, if you're going to go buy a full-size gun and stick it in a nylon holster, you're probably going to have a real problem. It comes down to, you know, if you want a serious gun, you're probably going to have a serious holster. You're probably going to have a serious belt. And you're going to have to think, you know, about where am I going to carry this? How am I going to conceal it? Is it going to be concealable? Is it reasonable for me? All of these things. I mean,
and hot weather in particular.
Hot weather.
Do I have clothes going to cover it? You know, if you're just wearing a shirt, that sort of thing.
Right.
I think about all that.
Right. And I mean, it all comes back to, you know, who you going to listen to? I mean, the reality is you can listen to yourself once you know. If you subject yourself and you humble yourself and you go get some professional training and you know, then that's fine. Then you'll know. All these questions will be answered. Or you can listen to the people who absolutely know. I still ultimately highly recommend, if you want to use a gun for defensive purposes, you're going to have to know how to do that. I think Keith would agree that, you know, it's like I always say, parachuting, you know, skydiving and sending a text message at the same time. You can do it, just probably not the first time you try it. So the first time you go for that gun at high speed should not be when your life depends on the outcome. But believe me, you're going to find out, is this the right gun? Was this the wrong one? Do I have the right holster? Because when you go reaching for it like that, all these things you can find out ahead of time. I've seen people on the line with guns that my God, their hand was twice as big as the gun. There's no way they could use
shooting
that
their fingertips off. And
yeah. I mean, there's no way.
I do that once.
Yeah.
We'll go into that.
Right. Okay. 749-5500, 513-749-5500. Tom Chevy, and I know you're on hold. I'll get to you. We're going to take a short break for the news. When we come back from the news, we'll take whatever calls, take a couple of calls at least, and then we'll get back on topic. So, again, back in just a moment with more Trigger Time, 55 KRC, the talk station.
55 KRC, the talk station.
Hi, it's Scott Sloan. I got something crazy fun for you to do on your next date night. Movie, bar, bowling. How many times are you going to do that? Seriously. Check this out. Target World. That's right, Target World. They have a full line of rental handguns, ammo, and an indoor range, all in a safe, clean environment. And when I went in, I couldn't believe how many men and women, how many couples were having fun. If you're new to shooting, no problem. Their friendly experts will have you locked, loaded, and having a good time. If you've always wanted to try it, Target World has you covered. They also have classes from basic to advanced, concealed carry, and more. Of course, if you own a gun or you're ready to buy one, they have almost 3,000 firearms in stock, almost double what the other guys have. Plus, ammo, holsters, safes, archery, paintball equipment, and more. Target World is right off 275 in Sharonville. They're open 7 days a week. Or you can check them out online at targetworld.net. I'll see you at the Tri-State's home for shooting sports, Target World.
This is Fox News on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pam Husso. The death toll climbing to 138 in Turkey after a major earthquake.
The earthquake hit around lunchtime. Before emergency workers arrived, local people grabbed at rocks and rubble, desperately trying to get to friends and relatives.
Sky News reporter Becky Johnson, the region rattled by powerful aftershocks, the quake also shaking buildings in neighboring Armenia and Iran. In Libya, preparations for free and fair elections, the nation's new leaders declaring liberation.
They were celebrating noisily tonight. They're very proud of what they've done. Not only did they fight off the Gaddafi forces here in this town, but they also did big battles both in Tripoli and in Gaddafi's hometown of Sirte.
Fox's Greg Palcott in Misrata. Strong turnout reported in Tunisia. Elections underway after January's uprising that overthrew the country's longtime leader. Fox News, we report, you decide.
55 KRC.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "No free man shall ever be precluded the use of arms." The decision to own a firearm isn't an easy one. What type should you buy? Where can you go for training? What are the laws governing carry and transport? And what role does the Second Amendment play in the lives of Americans? Listen in as we delve into this often controversial topic and separate fact from fallacy. Explore the right to bear arms and all that goes with it. Tune in Sunday nights at 7 for Trigger Time with Joe Barrett, right here on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Hey, it's Brian Thomas, Monday on the Morning Show. Mattel's rolling out a new toy for Christmas that your kids are probably going to want, but you're not going to want to buy. Find out about it Monday, 6:05, 55 KRC, the talk station.
Okay, you're back with Trigger Time on 55 KRC, the talk station. If you'd like to join us on the show tonight, give us a call now at 513-749-5500.
All right, thank you. Back with Trigger Time, Tom and Chevy, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I had a home invasion happen to me not too long ago, so I went ahead and got me a pump shotgun, which is sitting in my basement, which is fine. But my question is, everybody keeps talking about the concealed carry law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I allowed to carry, like if I, just say I had a holster around my waist, am I allowed to carry it if it's not hidden?
In the state of
Constitution,
in the state of Ohio, state of Ohio has no prohibition against carrying a non-concealed firearm for any person that is lawfully allowed to own a gun.
Open carry.
Open carry is what they call it. So if you are not legally prohibited for, if you don't have a disability,
I'm not a felon or nothing
okay,
like that.
Then in the state of Ohio, there is no law against you carrying the gun unconcealed. Except in places where guns are prohibited and those places are marked with signs. Now, that doesn't mean that you will not run into problems if you do it. People have. It's wrong. It shouldn't be the case, but it is. There is there are varying degrees of knowledge available, held by each law enforcement officer out there. if the police officer that gets alerted to your presence in a store with a gun and the people right. in there, if he is a gun, he or she is a gun person, then he or she will know that this is not unlawful and this is fine. There are police officers on duty right now in this state who are unaware that you are lawfully allowed to carry that gun unconcealed. They it just is a simple fact. There are. It's not a criticism. It is a fact. And then there are lots of police officers that are fully aware and don't care anyway. As long as you're not a felon, they don't mind if you have a gun. So I'm not saying you won't run into some ripples that you might, but it is legal. Yes.
You talked about a home invasion, Tom. Are you meeting on your own property in your own house, or are you meeting?
Yeah, I was laying. Actually, I was watching the first Republican debate and laying on the couch, and next thing I knew, my front door got kicked in, and two guys aimed guns at me and said, "Turn around, turn around, turn around."
That's a scary thing.
But no, you can carry a gun in your own property, open, no problem at all.
Absolutely.
It's just if you go down to the mall or something, you might get into trouble or something like this. But if you're on your own property, there's no problem at all.
Especially on your own property. But I mean, you're allowed to carry anywhere. It's not again to keep in mind. It doesn't mean you won't get hurt. You won't. I won't say harassed, but you might run into some issues. But it isn't illegal.
Well, that's what I was afraid of because it's like I know I got a Mossberg shotgun sitting in my basement right now, about 2 feet away from where I sit, with shells are about another 6 feet away from where I sit.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just wondering, I have other guns where if I was just to put them on my belt,
yeah,
where they're supposed to be,
you're perfectly.
Am I
going
to get in trouble?
No, especially not in your own home. But to be honest with you, you have the right to carry it anywhere in the state. That isn't a no carry zone. So you're good.
Okay, I appreciate your information.
All right, Tom.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Bye bye. Yeah, and I did want to comment there. Tom's scenario. He's laying on the couch watching television. Door flies off the hinge. Just two guys with guns. Out at TDI, we just did some scenario based training before we left. The end of the day, and it's amazing how quickly these things unfold. They unfold immediately. So in his situation, the shotgun's a couple feet away. The shells are another 6 feet away. I can assure you, in that scenario, that shotgun's not available.
You're
for
not
going
to get to them in time.
No. Two guys come in with guns, point them at you. They're in and on you in very few seconds. And as no one needs to tell Tom that, I assure you.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, yes, you're gonna get a few weird looks from relatives and people that come out of the house. But if you're going to be armed, the only intelligent decision is to be armed all the time, because if you're deciding when to be armed and when not based on how you think things are going to go, then you might as well buy a lottery ticket while you got your crystal ball out. The bottom line is you don't know when you'll need it, so you pretty much have to have it all the time, and it makes absolutely perfect sense to wear your gun in your house if you are concerned at all about home invasion or this type of thing, which you should be, because it is on the rise. People are realizing that you, the common average household, are a better target than the average convenience store and things like that. You've got gold, you've got a little bit of cash, you've got smartphones and laptops, and people aren't stopping by every few minutes to buy donuts and to buy gasoline at your place. They're realizing this, okay? So you are a target. Don't think you're not. I advise you to arm yourself and stay that way. Okay, here's one on your list, and this is a good one. Buying guns for other people.
Yeah.
There's a good idea. How many times have we heard this? Well, I'm just out buying something small for the wife. Yeah, oh, I hate that.
I hear it far too much. They don't really think, and they don't know, I guess, in the fact that small guns are hard to shoot, as we've said before.
Absolutely.
You have to have training with them, the small revolvers in particular, with the heavy trigger pulls. Small semi-automatics have really strong springs because they're small.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're the point where you really can't handle them if you're not very strong. So buying a small gun for a small person does not make sense.
No, it doesn't.
And buying guns for other people, probably, unless you... unless you are very aware of what their capabilities are, is not a good idea.
Right. It's the thing is, it's an individual thing. There's no question about that. People have to be able to make their own. I mean, Amy carries a slightly different gun than I do. She could carry the gun that I carry, and I could carry the one she carries. We carry slightly different models, but our magazines, she can use the magazines for my gun. So we that works for us. There we've trained with people where the husband carries a, you know, an M&P Smith & Wesson, and the wife carries a Glock or whatever. I mean, whatever works for you, but let each person decide what works for them. Don't make the decision for somebody. You know, you can't say, well, I know what she needs. I'll get her. I mean, this is very common. I'm just going to get her a little 22 or something, mm-hmm. keep in her purse. Oh, my God, I hate to hear that. Why do that? Why not get her some duct tape and a gag, too? That way the guy doesn't have, you know. He
doesn't have trouble himself.
Yeah, he doesn't have trouble himself. Bring his own. You know, he can just do it. She can have all this stuff right there for him. Don't buy guns for other people. You know, if you want to pay for them, fine. But go with them. Let that person have their own experience. Let that person see how this feels. It is an enormous mistake. And, you know, there's no question about that. And again, this leads right into it. Buying something small for the wife, just going to get her a little 22 to stick in her pocket. Choosing ineffective caliber is a very common mistake.
I go over that in class extensively. And, you know, we have this Marshall Index we go by, which is effectiveness, one-shot stop. And I won't get into the details of it, but we talked about it before, I believe, but the small calibers, I'm talking 22, 32, 25, are very, very ineffective. They're 20 to 30%, and that's about one time out of four it works, which isn't good odds.
No.
And so you don't really want to jeopardize yourself by buying a caliber that's just ineffective for the job at hand.
Right.
Now, if you're shooting squirrels or you're shooting tin cans or you're going out and plinking on the range, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking defense here.
Right.
And so you need something with enough power, with enough stopping power, to do the job. And we usually said 9mm, kind of the baseline, or 38 specials.
Right. And I agree with that. It's like, you know, a lot of people are into the 380. And here's the problem I see with the 380. Most of what I've learned, you know, I've learned from Keith, I've learned from John Benner and the guys out of TDI. To be honest with you, that's a huge amount of the knowledge I've had, because a lot of the knowledge that I had prior to learning from these people, honestly, a lot of it was wrong, as it turned out, you know, so I had to unlearn a lot of things. But the simple fact is, the 380s that are available, it isn't the diameter of that bullet that is the issue.
It's a 9mm bullet, but it's lighter in weight, and it doesn't go as fast.
There it is. That's the problem. It isn't that the diameter isn't big enough. Not at all. It's that the ammo available tends to be less effective. The guns available, the guns that run that ammo, tend to be harder to operate. They're small. They're very difficult to manipulate. When you are trying to move and shoot and things like that, and you have got to clear a malfunction, unload your gun, reload, things like that, doing that with a tiny, tiny gun is very difficult to do.
And you don't have good eye-hand coordination, or your coordination of your fine motor movement of your hands and stuff is compromised under stress. So
sure.
If you have a hard time doing it under relaxed conditions, you're definitely going to have a hard time doing it under stress. And that's what
you better
talking
believe
about
it.
Here.
Yeah. So it just these guns, ineffective calibers, you know, it isn't that they're useless. Mm-hmm. It's that they're misapplied. You know, 22s are great for what 22s are good for. 32, 35, nothing wrong with them for what they're for. Defensive calibers, though, I think, you know, the standard tends to be, and I agree with it, 38 special if you're going to shoot a revolver, 9mm and up if you're going to shoot a semi-automatic. And I think there's a lot of logic in why we say that. You know, I think we can support it. So how do we select an appropriate firearm? You know, the first thing on your list, determine what your needs are.
Yeah, you have to. What am I doing with this gun? Again, are you shooting targets with it? Are you just taking it to the range once in a while? Are you hunting with it?
Mm-hmm.
That entirely different types of guns for the different purposes. Concealed carry has specific guidance, really, as to what you need. It's lightweight. It's powerful enough to do the job and all those things. You have to determine what your needs are before you buy the gun.
Right.
Don't buy the gun and see if it meets your needs.
Right.
It's not
gonna
work.
Because that won't work. I mean, you're not going to. A lot of people think they'll tailor themselves to the gun, and they won't. Now, you need to do a little bit. I'm not one of these people that really thinks concealed carry. I think it was David Bowie out of TDI that said it's concealed carry, not convenient carry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guns don't – you shouldn't necessarily be convenienced by your gun. You should know it's there.
I don't want to forget that it's there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't have a – I mean, you know, the gun needs to make its presence known. But let's face it, if you say, you know what, I watched Dirty Harry 27 times over the weekend, and I've decided the 44 Magnum's the gun for me, and I am going to carry it. And no, you're not. You might think you are, but you're not. And the bottom line is, if you ever try to use that gun in like a defensive situation, I'd love to see somebody, you know, get on a steel target and hammer it three times with magnum loads.
With no ear protection.
Yeah.
With you're not going to have ear protection in a defensive situation.
No. And if you're indoors, guess what?
Blow your ears out.
You just blew your ears out. It's going to feel like somebody hit you in the head with a bat. The bottom line is, some guns simply do not lend themselves to concealed carry. And recognizing that only makes sense. What is your? Are you going hunting for deer? Yeah, then your 44
yeah, you need
Magnum's
a 44
fine.
Magnum or something like that.
Yeah, but let's determine what our needs are. If it's concealed carry, let's be reasonable. What features do you want? All right.
Yeah, these are a lot of selection. There's a lot of guns out there available, and you're going to get a revolver, semi-automatic, and we won't labor that. Both of them are good. It's just a matter of which one you prefer.
Right.
Caliber we discussed. You want a caliber sufficient to do the job you're doing. Single or double action, you know, there's the choice there. Barrel lengths, magazine capacities, finishes, weight, sights, grips, all those things are available.
Right.
It's just a matter of which one you want or which ones you prefer.
And it's amazing. There's a lot. I mean, a lot of people do different stuff. And I mean, you'll see even amongst people that are really competent, very, very, very well-practiced, well-educated people will do something different than another person who's as well-practiced and well-educated as they are. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Difference is fine.
Yeah, it's individual.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's individual. So, okay, 749-5500. We do have a couple callers on the line. We're going to try to finish up this topic and get back in just a moment. So back in a minute with more Trigger Time, 55 KRC, the talk station.
55 KRC.
This weekend, go to 55KRC.com and save half on A1 Ohio Valley Retro Foam. Buy a $1,000 gift certificate for only $500 for installed foam insulation. This weekend only at 55KRC.com. Home and Garden Weekend Deals.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "No free man shall ever be precluded the use of arms." The decision to own a firearm isn't an easy one. What type should you buy? Where can you go for training? What are the laws governing carry and transport? And what role does the Second Amendment play in the lives of Americans? Listen in as we delve into this often controversial topic and separate fact from fallacy. Explore the right to bear arms and all that goes with it. Tune in Sunday nights at 7 for Trigger Time with Joe Barrett, right here on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Sean Hannity, Hannitizing the Tri-State weekdays at 3 and at 55KRC.com.
Search Listen Live
from 55KRC, the talk station.
Okay, you're back with Trigger Time on 55KRC, the talk station. If you'd like to join the show, give us a call now at 749-5500.
Thank you, Amy. That's right. This is Trigger Time, and we are talking about firearm selection, really. I mean, Keith and I both deal with people all the time, lots of questions. Hey, what should I buy? What shouldn't I buy? You know, I'm happy to pick your gun for you if that's really what you want me to do, but I don't advise you have me do that. I advise you to do what I recommend: training, practice, shooting. You don't need, I mean, you know, now, here's the thing. If you really feel like you need to buy a gun now for self-defense, I understand that, and I'd be happy to tell you what I think you should buy and where to go to get some training immediately and so on and so forth. But the bottom line is, if you have time to make this decision, then do the research. I mean, think about it. Try some stuff. Go to Target World and, you know, rent the guns and shoot them and see which ones, you know, this and that, and take the classes, take the training. Here's the thing, I'll say this without any fear of being told I'm wrong. If you have absolutely no training and no experience with a gun and you go buy a gun, okay, and then you decide, you know what, I am going to get some real training and then I'm going to get some real practice, and you do that, you will not end up with the same gun when that's done. Yeah. You won't. I mean, you might think you will, you might argue with me, but you won't. You will evolve out of whatever decision you made as a person with no experience and knowledge. And then making that decision later and thinking about it, you will change. It will happen. So that experience cannot be, it can't be replaced. It's absolutely fundamentally important. Okay, let's grab a caller. Joe in Loveland, welcome.
Hi, just got a quick question. I was listening to your show, and I heard the scenario of the one gentleman with the people busting in his door, and you suggested that carrying all the time.
Yeah.
I have a couple 38s in the house, but I have two children, like 4 and 5.
Uh-huh.
And the idea of carrying in the house, it's great, but I'm a little uncomfortable with that. You know, they come up to hug you and stuff. I'm afraid something's going off.
And I understand that, Joe. But to be honest with you, again, it comes down to how you're carrying and so on. But like for instance, the gun that I wear a Glock 17 in a Safariland ALS holster. The firing mechanism, the gun, the controls of the gun, everything is completely covered in the holster, and it is a locking holster. I have to unlock the holster to take the gun out, which I can do quickly, but not accidentally. If somebody were to come up and hug me and touch that, all they're touching is plastic. It can't possibly hurt them. We have in our head that, you know, a gun is like a rattlesnake, and if you get too close to it, it'll bite you. It's not the case. Now, would I recommend you sticking, you know, a Glock in your belt and hugging your child? No. But if you make sound decisions about the firearm, you make sound decisions about the gear and how you carry it, absolutely carrying it. Again, it'll feel weird because you're not accustomed to it. But the bottom line is, I don't know if you're at home right now, but let's say you were at home right now. Door flies off the hinges. If you don't have the gun on you, you might as well not have one. You're not going to get to it. These things unfold in literally 1.5-2 seconds. They're inside and on you, because believe me, they come in knowing what they intend to do, and they come in intending to do it. You're taken by surprise. It takes a person, you know, a quarter of a second roughly to even know something's happening. Again, you're dealing in fractions of seconds. So I do encourage you. And again, I think a lot of those fears will be alleviated once you get trained and practiced, and you really realize, yeah, this is safe. It's completely safe as long as I do it safely. If I do it unsafely, I mean, there's a guy that went to church or went somewhere and stuck his striker fired gun in his waistband, and he's adjusting it, you know, and midway through, and it goes off. Well, yeah, he didn't do it safely. So, I mean, if you don't do it safely, it is dangerous. But if you do it safely and you make good decisions, you have absolutely nothing to fear.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, Joe, thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, so we determine what our needs are, the features we want. I mean, we talked, you know, and like he said, you know, revolver, semi-automatic, both are just fine. I can absolutely agree with that. Double single action barrel length. These are all personal decisions. What firearms meet your needs and have the desired features? You talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, you determine what you need based upon your scenario, what you need, and then you look in the market and see what firearms meet those needs.
Right.
Instead of just looking at the firearm and saying that's good, say, okay, does it have this? Does it have that? Does it have what I need? Is it the right caliber? Is it the right size?
Right.
All those things. And then there's a variety of guns out there that will meet those needs probably. And then you can make your selection based upon that.
Right. And you know, the price ranges you have here, I mean, you've got low, medium, and high. You can talk a little bit about
that. These are just general, you know. Under $400 this day and age, you're probably not going to get a lot. You may get some surplus police guns, which are very good deals.
Yeah, they tend not to be CDN heavily shot.
CDNN Investments, if you look down in Texas there, they sell police guns. And you can get a Glock, SIG, or Smith & Wesson for $300 or something, and that's about half price. And they're good quality, looked after by police armors, and a little bit of holster wear or something. And you can order those through an FFL dealer.
Sure.
Some imports in the past, they imported some SIGs up at AIM Surplus that were excellent. And the Makarovs come out of the Eastern Bloc. They're very good quality guns for very little. So you can get some under that price range. Medium price range, about $400 to $1,000, we say.
Yeah.
And that includes most of your guns recommended for defense. Smith & Wesson's Glocks, Springfield's Brettas, SIGs, H&Ks, are all in that area. And so they're all good guns. It's just a matter of which one you prefer.
Right.
You know. And I caution about going too high as well. When you get over $1,000, you have custom guns. You get Les Bear, Wilson, and those folks, and they make beautiful guns. But they're really presentation grade, and they're custom, and that sort of thing. And you don't need those.
Right.
Not for defense.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I can see, you know, like, for instance, I carry a Glock 17. My Glock 17's had the Bowie Tactical Concepts signature package done on it. Improvements were made based on what we learned worked better and what improvements I thought would benefit me. You can spend a lot of money on a defensive gun, and it will be better for what you need. But to be honest with you, the main thing is you've got to spend enough. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars, but you do got to spend a little money. Don't look for that, hey, I'm not spending over $200 or $300, because you're not going to get a decent gun. It's just not going to happen unless, it's just not going to happen. Going to a gun show, walking the floor, looking for a guy who's selling his Glock for $200, be careful. Why is he selling it?
There's a reason they're selling it for $200.
Yeah, you better believe it. The bottom line is what I want in a defensive firearm is a gun that operates very simply. I don't want lots of bells and whistles. I don't want lots of stuff on it. When I say bells and whistles, though, you get more trained, you might want a laser, you might want lights, you might want things which absolutely are fine once you're trained and accomplished in using them. Be careful adding all this stuff initially. I see a lot of people going out first thing, you know, and they, oh, I want a light, I want a laser, I want all this, yeah. I want all that. Until you're trained to operate that system under stress, and it's going to work against you. It's not going to work for you. Yeah,
it's not a good thing to do right off the bat.
No,
you have to phase it in, basically, as your training proceeds.
Absolutely. I tell people, you know, learn to run the guns. If you want a laser, learn to run the gun first, learn to run the sights, then get a laser.
First.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's you know, a lot of mistakes. People make mistakes. Just some advice, Keith. You want to read the first one there?
Yeah. We bear repeating, but don't let the cost be the sole criteria in your selection. Like you said, don't go in and just have a fixed amount in mind and buy something. It might not suit your needs. It probably won't. If you're not knowledgeable personally, get advice from reliable people. We said that already.
Yep.
People who train, people who compete, people who work on guns like gunsmiths. Because it's about buying guns from strangers unless they've been checked out by a gunsmith or a knowledgeable gun person. Because they can be defective, like
sure.
I said. It can be cracked forcing cone or something. And you've got a piece of junk then, you know, and there's no recourse because you can't send it back to the factory as a used gun. Try to shoot the gun. We already said this. You're interested in before you actually buy it, if you can. Rental gun or something. See if it suits your needs. Because you don't want to buy it and then say, ooh, I don't like this, you know.
Right.
And make sure there's parts and repair service available. Some guns may not be able to be repaired because they just imported a few and they don't have any parts and stuff, and you don't want to get stuck in that loop. What you've said already and what we keep stressing is practice. Once you have it, it's not just having it, it's practicing with it and getting it part of your motor memory.
Right. You're not gonna pick this thing up and run it the way you're going to need to run it under those circumstances any more than you would be able to land a plane if you needed to. You can need to land a plane and still not know how to do it. It's simple fact. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is if you have the time, if your circumstances allow for it, please, whatever you do, get training. Go to a professional place, get some professional training, and use their gun. Don't spend a lot of money right up front when you know you're buying something you don't know anything about. You know, make these decisions with as much information as you possibly can. If you got to act fast, you got to act fast. But if you don't have to act fast, if you've got the time, then let that person, wherever you go for training, let that work for you. Let that information you can get from that person who is knowledgeable work for you and try to take it a little slower. And, you know, you'll probably be happier with the outcome. So, Keith, I want to appreciate you. I appreciate you bringing all this up. Thank you very much.
Pleasure, Joe.
We will be, all of us will be back next week. Amy?
Okay, that's it for another hour of Trigger Time. We'd like to encourage our listeners to responsibly exercise their Second Amendment rights by being armed whenever legal and joining the NRA. Please visit our website, www.triggertimewithjoe.com, and email questions and suggestions to info@triggertimewithjoe.com. Tune in next Sunday at 7 p.m. for another hour of Trigger Time here on 55 KRC, The Talk Station.
KRC, The Talk Station.
How to chart your financial flight plan to retirement success. This Sunday's topic on Retain Your Gains with Sound Money. Let Brown Financial Advisors show you ways to secure your financial future for a successful retirement. This Sunday at 12 noon on 55 KRC, The Talk Station.